Welcome to A Load of Old Toffee, episode number 52, brought to you in association with boroughguide.co.uk and David Lloyd, Jim in Stevenage. Obviously a new season coming up. We didn't really get to finish off last season with on the podcast front, did we, after such a poor ending to the season and all things considered. But I've got...
Not much to talk about, was there? Not much to say.
I think we did well to talk enough about last season. Enough.
Absolutely.
Without putting the tin hat on it, really.
Yeah, yeah. Plus you had to do a bike ride, didn't you?
Did he?
Yeah,
I missed that.
Haven't you heard about that?
No.
Oh. He'd done a bike ride. That stopped us doing this. Then he tried to claim that the reason we weren't doing a podcast was because me and you went on holiday, remember?
We haven't been nowhere yet, have we?
No.
No.
As you can probably guess, I've got Dino and Mark Hollis with me for this podcast. No special guest, but we do have a guest of sorts coming on a little bit later on.
He is an actual guest.
He is a guest, yeah, okay.
He's getting more part of the furniture.
He is, unfortunately. fortunately? I don't know.
Oh, interesting. Maybe we'll quiz you on that little notion a little bit later on, Dean.
I think he overtakes Tony Creek on appearances now, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But it's a different kind of guest, isn't it? Because we let Steve loose with him all alone.
Yeah.
Take a gang up against us.
More on that a little bit later on. Let's have a little think about things. Pre-season friendlies, Mark.
I don't do pre-season. I've got a strict no pre-season friendly rule.
Have you not been to any?
No.
Where does that stem from then?
Brilliant.
Where does that stem from? I've
been to a few in my time. You can't tell anything from them for me.
Yeah, but I reckon you can tell if you're not going to like a player or not.
No, I don't think you can, because I went to the... It wasn't a friendly, but remember the AFC Wimbledon League Cup game season before last, was it?
Mm.
And I came out there and I was telling people... I've never lived it down. I was telling people this is one of the best midfields I've ever seen at Stevenage. We looked brilliant that night, didn't we? As the season progressed,
was that the,
AFC Wimbledon became a team of...
Yeah, they were dreadful, weren't they?
Well, yeah, idiots.
Mm. We scored four goals, didn't we?
Yeah, and I thought we looked brilliant.
Yeah.
And that was a proper competitive game. So it was Cobblers. Friendlies, they just do nothing for me. I very nearly went to Chesham. But it didn't.
No.
You've been to a few, I've been to a few. What have you made of them, Dean? I mean, obviously, for you, it's going to be the biggest question because, you know, it's a chance to run the rule, the 10-minute rule over the new members of the squad.
I've been impressed with some of them in their 10 minutes that they've had with me.
Any of them failed the 10-minute?
Yes, they have.
Are you prepared to name?
No, not at this stage of the season, because I think that would be unfair and unjust of me to start slating a player before a ball's been kicked in anger, as they say. But I think other people agreed with me. But then, you know, who's to say he's not going to come good or they're not going to come good?
Oh, just one. One.
Just the one. No, but, you know, the last time I saw him play, he did a little bit more for me than he had in the previous games. So we shall see. But I've seen a few. So I like the look of Walton, of course, who's a proper footballer. I like the look of Harry Worley. He's a proper footballer.
Bowles?
Yeah. You can't. We are looking like, and dare I say it, a proper Graham Wesley kind of side. We're looking tough at the back. Difficult to break down. Difficult to score against. Midfield's looking okay. But we ain't scoring that many.
Who we got up front? Zola, injured.
Injured. Beardsley, injured.
Beardsley, not prolific, not known for his goals, is he? That's not to knock him.
Yeah, 10 in...
Hey, he's known for his booking, so, Mark.
Yeah, you know, all right. Oh. Oh. We can have you on that.
He did have you on that, didn't he?
Didn't have me.
He had you. And tell Hollis.
Yeah, he had me, but it wasn't you.
Yeah. No, it wasn't me. I didn't say it. Who do we have in the room? It was the guest that said that he got booked a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, just to explain that one, somebody did insinuate that Chris Beardsley picked up a lot of bookings for which the man himself actually put us right on that one, and yeah. He doesn't.
Yeah, never been suspended as a Stevenage
player. He wouldn't know to call me Ollis.
Don't you believe it?
Who else?
Graham talks about us.
Who else we got up front? No, he doesn't.
He does. Marriott.
Marriott.
Looks okay, doesn't he, actually?
Is he going to get goals at this level?
Look, I put Steve Wright last Saturday, didn't I? Because you said, oh, I'm not sure if he's going to be clinical at this level, or words to that effect.
Did I?
You? Yeah. And I said, if you're a natural goal scorer like Marriott is, you score goals in the park, in the Conference South, in League Two.
If
you're given the ball and you're given the service. Look, eyebrows like that.
I don't remember saying that, because I just think that he's a player that's going to grow into things as well. You know, he's stepping up two or three leagues, and I think, you know, it's shown, and he has got better every game I've seen him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Darius has had a poor pre-season.
I agree with you. I think if you know where the goal is, you know where the goal is.
Yeah.
Big season for Darius.
He's not done nothing for me pre-season, has he, for you? He hasn't held it up like he has done. He hasn't gone on those runs. He hasn't got himself into positions. It's like he's been forcing himself to play, and he just needs to relax a bit. I think he's just been trying a bit too hard, dare I say.
Is this where pre-seasons don't tell you anything?
Could be.
Yeah, but he's going to take that into a full season, isn't he?
Not necessarily.
Let's hope not.
Poor old Ronnie Henry, it's not been the greatest starts of a return for him, has it?
Yeah, that was it was a nasty old challenge, wasn't it? It was almost 50-50, wasn't it? And yeah. They both got him for it, I suppose. Those things happen, but you don't want them to happen.
It was late.
The second Tuesday of the pre-season, do you?
But unnecessary.
Hopefully he should be back, second, third game of the season, shouldn't he?
Right. And Tom Pett,
I haven't watched anything yet. He's my favourite player.
What did I say to you after half an hour at Barnet, Steve?
Half an hour it took him.
No. West Ham game and half an hour at Barnet. What did I say to you?
I don't know. I don't listen to you, Dean.
Player?
Going to be better than Luke Freeman.
You have said that. I've heard you say that. Okay. I've heard big things about him, but they were from the woman who was sitting there at work who supports Wolverhampton. who the day after they won the league, she came in and I said congratulations as she walked in the door, and she went, what? And I went, well, Wolverhampton won a title last night. And she went, oh, did they? So I'm not...
Somebody else I know who had been talking to a Wealdstone fan said that Tom Pett wasn't even the best player at Wealdstone.
But we've gone out and signed that player now.
Well, have we?
Yes. Yeah, I think we have.
Has it been announced? Have we? By us?
You don't expect us to be first with the news, do you?
When was this then, do you know?
I saw somebody...
Wealdstone have announced it.
I saw somebody...
The Wealdstone press officer announced it on Twitter. Dave Toyne weren't happy, was he? Love his art.
He'd agreed terms or something to that effect.
We haven't announced it.
Oh, here we go. Jeff. Somebody retweeted something from Wickham. Keep an eye on Jerome Okimo at Stevenage. That lad is class. That's a Wickham fan. So obviously news has got out that we've signed him.
Well, he had a knacked knee, didn't he? He was at Gillingham and he knackered his knee.
Yeah, cruciate. And he dropped out the game a little bit and back down. So.
So yeah, if we can get him.
Yeah.
Great.
Proper left back.
I saw him for the first time last week, and yeah.
He looked all right, didn't he?
There was no moaning about the left back, which Stevenage fans have been doing an awful lot about for the last 18
months.
Birra
looks so much more comfortable at centre back.
Yeah.
We ain't going to let in many goals.
Oh, Dean.
I said when we were 2-0 up against West Ham, that ain't a bad start for Besant, is it? And then they scored their two in the last 5 minutes. I think I was talking to Andy Carr or somebody up on the East Terrace. Yeah, the curse. The curse of opening my big gob. But no, I don't think we will. With Worley, Wells, Birra, Ash... Ronnie when he gets back to fitness, but then if you haven't got Ronnie, you've got Charlie Lee, who's
good player.
He's a footballer. He's a player. And then you've got the lad Akimo at left back. So you've got 6-7 players there that you ain't going to be scratching red and going, oh, be about time Darius goes to left back.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
So that's it, is it? Darius is a striker now, out and out.
Mm.
Although he has played in defence in some of the pre-seasons, hasn't he? He's been moved there.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I haven't been at the games, but yeah, I think he has. But
it's nice to have flexibility in your squad, don't it?
Apparently.
Okay, well, on that note, shall we bring in our special guest? Because that's something that was brought up. I was sent along to go and see the Stevenage manager, Graham Wesley.
What do you mean you were sent along?
Dean and Mark decided that they...
A little lunchbox, cheese sandwiches, a bag of skips.
Pepperoni.
Okay.
Well, pepperoni!
Headed off to Bradbury End to speak to the Stevenage manager, and this is what he had to say. Okay, Graham.
Are you not going to play any music to start it off?
Well, we'll do that back in the studio.
Will you?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Good summer?
Not really, no, it's horrible. Dreadful feeling. Was your summer good?
Well, I don't know. Footballers, obviously, but you've been very busy.
Yeah, I've been busy, that's for sure. I didn't really get much of a holiday this year. So, it's the price you pay, I guess, for delivering the rubbish up last year. So, I didn't get a lot of holiday, but I think we did some good work in the summer. We've got a decent looking outfit together. I think the boys are ready to go this year and do what we're famed for, which is bouncing back.
Pre-season's over. It's from the outset, I've only caught a handful of the games, but certainly looks very positive. Only the one defeat, and I know they're only pre-season, but it's something you'll take in.
Yeah, well, I said to the boys at the beginning, pre-season for me is about learning to win. It's the whole focus for me is not about fitness. The whole focus for me, obviously, fitness is an element of creating a winning way. You're not going to have a winning way if you haven't got any fitness, but you've got to go on the football pitch and learn as an 11 or 14 on the day to be able to win games. And I think the boys have acquitted themselves well. We've had some tough oppositions, and they've gone up against them, the exception of the Barnet game, and come away with something from every game. And when you consider the scale of some of the clubs that we've played against and the resources that they've got, albeit we don't need to come second to anybody, but nonetheless they've got big resources and we've performed pretty well considering a new squad.
I saw the Barnet game. Was that kind of frustrating in the way that maybe they looked at the game, because it was certainly some challenges flying?
Yeah, it was a feisty affair, but you wouldn't expect anything less, would you? I didn't go over there thinking that Martin would play it as a friendly. So we went there knowing what we were going to get. I think that what really disappointed me was that it was one of those games where I had other priorities. I wanted to win, obviously. No excuses. But my priority was to get people like Charlie Lee some minutes under their belt, to get Chris Wilkdale some minutes under his belt. And that meant playing those two as a pair in the middle of the park. And it really wasn't the right way to go about playing the game, nor was it the right thing to do to bring Joe and Gesson on at right back. But bearing in mind the lads had played on the Saturday, bearing in mind the amount of minutes I was prepared to give people, and bearing in mind one or two illnesses that we had on the day, we went in a little bit weak, and we paid the price. But I'm never one who's going to groan about people having a go. It was a feisty game, but you're going to get feisty games during the season, aren't
you? I suppose people would say that have come to the Lamex as well, because you play the game for a purpose, don't you? And obviously as you get closer to the day, you're looking to put that little bit more intensity into a game as well.
Well, you play to win, and winning means doing what it takes to win. And you know, there's no point pretending that you can suddenly start doing that on the first day. A side that's just lost three or four of its last four or five pre-season games isn't going to be in the right sort of shape, is it?
Mm.
So you've got to get the habits going in pre-season, and if you get the habits going in pre-season, you've got a chance of continuing them into the real deal.
Seen the team photographs. Good one with the little lad in it as well. That was a nice touch. But the squad looked very happy.
I think they are. They're a terrific bunch of lads. They're a very disciplined bunch, very together bunch. The appetite and willingness to be part of a team is brilliant. The chef's been off the last week, and if you could watch the team at work, washing its dishes, doing its cooking,
making sure that every last nutritional need is looked after, doing a deep clean of the kitchen at the weekend. You know, they're all mucking in. There's nobody too big or too small to be involved. And when you get that kind of camaraderie and that kind of spirit going, you know you're on something. And they're, as I say, they've been a good bunch to work with so far. It's early days, but you know when you're with good people.
Are you kind of getting that feeling back now that you had with, we keep hopping back to the squad that got us back into the football.
Yeah, there's something about every winning team that I've ever been involved with. There's something about it. And whether it's the ambition, whether it's the work ethic, whether it's the determination, the steel, the togetherness, I don't know what it is, but you know when it's there and you know when it's not. I knew very early on when I came back to the club that it was missing, and it's taken a time to restore it. But that winning vibe, that winning feeling, you know, the just from a personal point of view, I walk in the building with a smile on my face in the mornings, and I left the building with a smile on my face. They've been an unbelievable bunch of people to work with, and I came back and I've never rediscovered it until pre-season when I've come back in, and every day's been a joy.
It's kind of different makeup to the squad to what we've seen from you in the past, isn't it? You've got some experienced players that have perhaps played higher level than Stevens, rather than you know the players that we've had coming up.
Yeah, but they've all got something in common, which is that they've all got ambition, and they've all got the need to bounce back from a disappointment.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, whether you look at Simon Walton, who, let's face facts, this man has won promotion to the Premier League. Mm. He's a hell of a footballer, and you know his problems have obviously, you know, got in the way. And injury has probably been his biggest issue, but problems have got in the way of you know the level he's playing at, and he's found himself in League Two. Simon Walton has got the ability to play in the Premier League, have absolutely no doubt about that. And you know, I hope that we can play a big part in helping him get back there. But it doesn't matter whether it's him or whether it's somebody like Adam Merritt, who's playing at Cambridge City last season. You know, they're all League Two players now, they're all together, but they've all got that ambition, they've all got that togetherness, they all want to get better, they want to learn, they want to develop. You sit and talk with Simon about things he can do to improve his game, and he listens to you and he does something about it, and he's serious about becoming a better footballer. And that is such a welcome relief after, you know, the last 12-15 months, because there were so many people in this place who didn't think they had anything to learn, who didn't want to learn, who, you know, put other things other than football as their priority. And you know, those dark, depressing days are behind us. We've got some real winners around.
Some of the players, I mean, you've brought in, and you've been tracking for a while. I mean, got a question here from Dino. In fact, I've got a paper here with questions from Dino.
Okay.
So I'll apologise now.
I think we should just do one thing. I'm quite happy to deal with Dino's questions, but I think you should do them in Dino's voice if we're going to deal with them. So why don't you get your Dino voice on, and let's hear from Dino. As we go about it. So crack on.
Am I allowed to swear, or?
You can do what you want.
Okay, Graham.
That's not bad, that, Steve. Crack on.
You said we had to go through hoops to sign Wells. What don't we know as fans that you have to go through to sign a player like that? I don't know if I can do this all the time.
What don't you know about? Well, if you've got a player who's under contract to another club, and you set your mind to go and get that player, you've got to persuade that club to move him on, and you're not always going to be blessed with the financial resources to do that. And obviously, you know, it's a complicated process, that whole negotiation, to put yourself in a position where you actually make the signing. So yeah, these things, you know, can go on for weeks. And you know, at the top level, you get to see a little bit of it, although I'm sure you don't see half of the truth. But you know, at any level, it's a complicated process to win a player. Not only have you got to persuade the club, but then, you know, cometh the hour, in the end, you've got to persuade the player. And you know, that's about a lot more than money at our level. It's about, you know, where the player feels, you know, his ambitions are best going to be served. And it was a tough deal to get Wellesley, but he's a hell of a player. I mean, I wouldn't have bothered if I didn't really rate that level. The first time I watched him, I made my mind up about him. He was, and that doesn't happen to me very often, but the first time I watched him, he was so accomplished in so many of the aspects that I look for. and he was tested in so many aspects, and he kept a clean sheet the night I watched him, and I could see exactly why he had what we needed. He's a great leader, he's a pure winner, and I've loved working with him.
I mean, obviously he's had his past and it's well documented, but for me the refreshing thing is he's not afraid to talk about it and, you know, move on. I think he wants people to know, you know, what he has been through.
Well, you know, his past is exactly that. As you know, he was, you know, one aspect of his past, he was weighing 16 and a half stone.
Yeah.
And
all been there.
Hey,
all been there.
Not yet. But you know, he's been through a lot, and you got to lose to win sometimes. And he's made some decisions in his life that he probably looks back on and I don't say regrets, because at the time he was doing what, you know, was right for him at the time. He might have been making some bad choices and bad decisions, but at the time he was doing what he was doing, and you know, he got himself into a situation. So he looks back on it, reflects on it, he feels he's in a much better place in his life now. He's got a real purpose in his life, and he's doing very well at his job. So I think it's all about the present. You know, you can't change your past, you can change your future. Let's hope that Dean Wells goes on to have a fantastic professional career.
Some good other catches as well. I mean, you've already talked about Simon Walton, but you know, what makes a player like Simon up sticks, if you like, and move north, south? Because he's played most of his football up north. I know he had a stint at Plymouth.
Yeah.
Well,
he's obviously, what does make a player move? All sorts of things can make a player move. Geography. If you know that he's got a family situation in the south, then you stand a chance of getting him to move towards that family situation, and he has got a family situation, so there's that. But you know, when you've got high quality players, high caliber players, you know, quite often you can all kind of do similar sorts of things. The clubs that are competing for a player can all do similar sorts of things financially. It's going to come down to where he feels he can go is going to give him the most development, and where he's going to have the most fun. And win the most trophies, and that's, I suppose, where your players, the right players, are interested in the answers to those questions. What are you going to do for me as a footballer? How are you going to make me better? What type of team are you going to put me in? Do I fancy all of that?
Yeah.
And I think that really was it with Simon. I met with him in London and had a long chat with him and his agent, and those were the types of things we discussed. We didn't even discuss the financial side of things. It was all about, you know, how he could improve, how he could develop, how I saw him, how I felt that he needed to change. I told him some home truths, and sometimes people like those and sometimes people don't, but fortunately he took all of that on the chin, and you know, he was very positive about coming here. So I really enjoy working with Simon. He's a top pro.
I guess he'd probably come into the bracket. I think there's a few players that have, perhaps it would be fair to say, have turned down better financial deals, if you like, from other clubs to come here, which I guess is testament to what is actually going on at Stevenage.
Well, as I say, the most important thing, you know, I hope for most of our lads is we're never going to be the biggest players in our league. We're probably not the biggest players, you know, if you go down to the conference, probably clubs there that will pay more money. But it's about the quality of the development and about the potential of the team. And, you know, players, I guess, know they get a certain number of seasons and they're going to get a certain number of opportunities to walk away with honours. And they're going to make their mind up about, you know, where their chances are going to be best served in terms of their ability to win trophies and enjoy successful times. We've got a track record here of great success. We've got a recent track record of showing what can happen if you don't get it right. But I think, you know, the predominant feature of the last few years at Stevenage has been one where we have got it right. We do know the winning formula. And I think anyone who knows me and anyone who knows us will know that our intentions to get back to the winning way are going to be very resolute this season. So, you know, there's plenty of reasons for people to want to come and join the football club. And let's face facts, we've got a fantastic training facility, which, you know, is a very attractive asset for us to be able to sell to people.
Yeah. Another Dino one coming up. Quality over quantity, a gamble. I can't keep doing this.
You can stick to it. You're not bad, actually.
And Guessing was tipped by many authorities on the East Terrace to feature regularly, but heading to Aldershot. Does this mean some loans to come in?
No. The kids who are going out obviously aren't they're not a big financial charge to the football club. So, you know, they're going out to get games. And they're going out because, we need to balance the books. Mm. You're right, it is, it's a decision I took that I wanted, enough quality in the football club for us to be able to produce a winning football team. I could either go and get more mediocrity or less quality. Mm. That was the choice. And I decided I wanted to work with the Whelpdales, I wanted to work with the Henrys, I wanted to work with the Wellses, I wanted to work with the Wallys, the Waltons. I wanted to work with the Zolas. Those lads really appealed to me. I felt I could get them. I felt they were all in a position. I'd sort of spoken to most of them at some stage in their career about joining me here or elsewhere, and I felt I could get those lads for all the right reasons, but I wasn't going to be able to get them and sign another half a dozen to go with them. So it was very much a question of making that decision, and it was an easy one for me to make. It's difficult when you have a day like today. We're going into a Saturday, we've got 15 players on the training ground and two of them are trialists. Mm. So, at the weekend, we're probably going to have 13 players, two goalkeepers, 15. That's it. But we can only put 14 on the pitch. So, in days of old, you only were allowed to put five subs on, and when I was playing, you only had one sub. So, we know the score. We know that at times our squad will look a little bit stretched. People will look at our team sheet and think, oh, he hasn't even named seven subs. But I don't need to name seven subs. I can only use three. So there will be times where that happens, but that's not, to plead poverty, because I've gone in a certain direction, and I think it's the right one for us. I think that when our best team's on the pitch and doing well, we'll be very, very strong. I think if we lose one or two or three, we'll be struggling a little bit at times, but I don't think we'll be struggling in terms of the quality of the football that 11 can produce, just struggling a little bit in terms of the demand we're putting on players and possibly what we can do off the bench. But you make choices. Whichever way you go, there are going to be problems, and I soon have the problems that I've got, which is that at times we're going to be a little bit scarce for players, and lads are going to have to dig deep. In days of old, what were squads? 12, 13? Hmm. One sub, 11. You used to have to carry an injured knee onto the pitch with you. We might have to do a little bit of that this season.
Didn't used to have hamstrings in my day.
You did. You just used to limp on them.
So, is that where the youngsters come in? Because, obviously, that's another sea change as well, seeing so many youngsters actually being given the contract.
We've got to find a path. There's no point us having the academy structure and not having a path to develop the lads. I mean, I'm one who really does believe that what you need between 18 and 21 is continued development. I don't think you really know age 18 whether somebody's ready or whether they're not. I think most lads do take to 21 to fit out physically, grow physically. Mm. The difficult thing for clubs like ours is, well, what do you do with lads who are 18 and still showing a bit of promise, aren't quite ready? When you use them, they're not quite at the level. But with a couple more years' growth and development, maybe they'll become something. What do? You haven't got the resources to be able to sort of afford to have those lads. You have to try and get them on contracts, send them out on loan, try and support their development while they are on loan, and see them start to come through. So, I'm sure that the likes of Fajiri, Joe, Riddell, if we can get loans agreed for all of them, then that's going to be to their benefit, because I think even in pre-season, see, they're not quite ready for first team action yet. Whether they will be, only time will tell, but certainly having a development path is important.
What about before that age group though? I mean, obviously you've got them at the academy from under 12s upwards. Do you have much involvement in that sort of side of things?
No. I'm doing my best to support what Darren's doing there at the academy. I went and did a lecture the other week with all the scholars, talking to them about the nutritional side of their development, trying to help them in that regard. I went and did a training session with all the scholars recently, just to familiarise myself with where they're at, and to try and bring them into the Stevenage way, give them some basic attacking, defensive team habits, talk to them about the attitudes that I would expect of them when they come into the first team environment. So I try and support things in that way. I've got a visit to the academy to look at the younger age groups, to schedule in with Darren. So I'm trying to gradually take a look at what's going on and fine-tune it and improve it, and identify the elite players and make sure that the pathway is right for them. But it's enough of a job, you know, managing the first team and dealing with all the first team issues. But you know, my role is to make sure that those kids can come through. So you know, in terms of the strategic aspect, very much, you know, something that's on my agenda.
We've seen trialists, of course, during the course of pre-season, as we always do. Dino Voice again. When you've done your homework on a player and he's a trialist, does it annoy you should his name become public knowledge on social media? I think that's unfair.
Well, there's so many agendas going on when a player is a trialist. You know, it can alert people, can't it, to some piece of business you're trying to do, but you've got to be smart as well in the way that you're conducting your trials. If you're going to give someone game time, you know, it's up to you to make sure that you're thinking about how you can best control that situation. So names are going to creep out, aren't they, from time to time, and you know, some of the biggest culprits in the names creeping out were the players themselves, because you know, if you're Conor Colcott and you nick a goal against West Ham, you want the world to know it was you scoring the goal against West Ham, because does your name some good? But you know, in the end, I think, you know, if we fancy a player, it's up to us to make sure we get the deal done and get control of his future. That's the key, isn't it?
Are these trials still ongoing? I mean, obviously Colcott's been with you most of the pre-season, and also the lad at left back as well.
Yeah, they're you know, those you can see what I've done. I've gone and got what I consider to be the best of non-league. I've got quite a wide network of people in the game who tip me off on people here and there, and I never stop talking to people in the game and trying to find out, you know, who might be out there for us. It was actually, believe it or not, a PFA rep who popped in here who first tipped me Tom's name. It was a really old friend of mine from, you know, another professional club that gave me the left back's name. So, you know, you get your information from all sorts of sources, some of which you trust more than others, and you've then got to go and do your homework and watch your videos and get out and see your games, and these ones come through. But you know, in lads like Adam Marriott and Tom Pett and the left back, in inverted commas, I think we've got some really good lads who've more than got the capability of playing at this level and succeeding at this level and going higher than this level. So we've got some exciting young talent here.
When's kind of D-Day for them? Is it ahead of Saturday, or the, you know, the window, I suppose?
No, I don't think so. I don't believe in creating D-Days. You know when something's right to do. You know when, you know, you're sometimes in a position where you can do things, you're sometimes not in a position where you can do things. As I say, our budget's tight and our budget's virtually spent. We were waiting on the Freeman deal to see whether there was going to be anything additional available in the budget. So
has that helped you? I mean, money that's come in from Freeman.
Well, the key thing is that you know, the club's agenda is all about finding players who, you know, we can expect to capitalise on in the future. So you know, when you sell a player like Luke, the job of work is to find, you know, lads who can also be sold down the line. Who can also raise, you know, funds for the football club's future. There's a North Stand that we keep talking about that needs funding somehow. And you know, inevitably you're going to be looking at the likes of Tom Pett and Rory Deacon and Dean Parrott when he comes back from injury, and Adam Marriott, and you know, and others, and you're going to be looking at those lads and thinking, well, you know, maybe you're the one who's going to, you know, put that North Stand up for us, because somewhere on the line, you know, we're going to find a player who, you know, hits the right notes with a Premier League club. And you know, we're the lucky beneficiaries, not whoever it is, MK Dons, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah, sure. Now, this is a Dino question, and it's quite long, so I'm not going to try it in his voice. You talked about change of system versus Coventry with wing backs and three at the back. It did a job in the first half, and you moved to plan B, which changed things. We saw this last season, especially at Peterborough, but too many times last season we saw a formation changed with five or six players moving position. Some would say it would cost us early, especially at Orient. Will we see this again this term?
Well, the way in which you set up tactically, if you've got a versatile group of players, you quite often play a game with two or three systems being used and you won't even notice it's happened. Because if the players want to embrace your tactical methods, then you will scarcely know it's happened. It's when players want to find excuses for themselves that you'll start to hear that I had to play in three or four positions and this, that and the other. Chris Welbeck last weekend, I think, started at right wing back, he went into the hole in behind the front two and he finished up at right back. And we won 2-1 and Welbs came off and I thought he was terrific in the three different positions that he played in. In fact, I thought he had his first full 90 minutes, but I thought he had made his best performance of the of his short stint in his career so far. Welbs wasn't moaning about the positions that he'd been asked to play. He embraced the system changes, and we beat, you know, a strong enough Coventry City side 2-1 at home, and arguably could have been more, in that, especially in that second half. So we do change shape. I think most sides in the world change shape during the course of a game. When you've got winning players around, they embrace that and they do what the likes of the Michael Boswicks and the likes of the Laurie Wilsons and the likes of the Steve Morrisons in the past have done. They embrace it, they take it on board, they make it work, they win the game, and everybody talks highly of the club, the football team, the manager. That's the way in which, you know, a successful outfit works. When things aren't going so well, when you're not embracing, you know, a common way of doing things, you'll start to hear all about it, and we've seen that all too often in the past.
Is that something you look for in a player, versatility? Because, I mean, you know,
well, when you've got a small squad, you have to look for versatility.
Yeah.
One of the beauties of Charlie Lee was that he can play left back, he can play right back, he can play centre of the park, play centre back. You know, wherever you need to use Charlie, he'll go in and do a professional job for you. Fantastic to have people like that around. It's fantastic to have, you know, people like Welbs who will play three positions in one game and play them, you know, with real aplomb. It's vital if you can have a smallish squad that players can play in different positions. Look, Rory Deacon, he's played left back, he's played left side, he's played in behind the front, he's played as a striker. You can't have too many of those lads, I really believe that.
Question from Hollis.
Okay.
How did the foot golf go?
You know what, it was one of those situations, that foot golf, where we were mugged. And no, so you laugh, Steve, but there's some nasty, nasty business going on there. We didn't have a club, so we'd not played this game before. He invited us to a venue where, you know, we weren't sure where we were turning up. He gave me a postcode and I ended up in the middle of a field. But we eventually got there and we knew there was something awry when his team turned up with their own balls.
Oh.
Now, we were playing with Sondico specials,
right,
that you could smash the backside off of and they would go halfway up a fairway, and his boys were tiggling their balls and they were landing on greens. So there was a lot of questions that need answering. We came a very close second, but I think gearing up for a return match, they are in for one hell of a surprise, because we'll have the right balls, we'll have the right footwear, we'll have the right tactics, we'll understand the game, we'll know about taking the flag out of holes because the ball doesn't quite fit down if you don't. The little details that are the difference between winning and losing. Listen, no excuses, Hollis's team won, watch the space.
My worry was that, you know, was it a team of ringers? Because poor old Dino didn't even get a look in.
No, Dino was wandering around and I think he was spending his, I don't know how you tweet, I've never sent a tweet in my life, so, but I'm sure he was doing some tweeting because someone told me afterwards that he was. So he was walking around trying to look intelligent, and doing his best to tweet out there to the big wide world. He definitely couldn't get a game, and they definitely did have some ringers in there, that's for sure.
Another serious one from Dino. On the open day, you coped very well on your trampette, asking the questions of the players. Is it true you're going to conduct your own interviews this season?
I'd probably do a better job than him. No, I think we'll stick to the famed duo of Dino and Watkins. They don't do a bad job on the whole. They're a decent duo.
I've never thanked you for that comment, bro.
But you did write it down for me.
Injury-wise, then. So, looking ahead, obviously, it's first game Saturday. Likes of Ronnie Henry, Calvin Zola, we've not seen at all. How are they getting on?
No, they're not. They're not far away. I'd be very surprised if either was involved at the weekend. But Ronnie's just about back running now. He's kicked a couple of balls, so if you saw him 3 weeks ago, he was couldn't straighten his leg. So he's a long way down the road. Calvin, he's had a couple of attempts now to come back from his hamstring. Both have failed. He's been back in training for a couple of days both times, and obviously got 20 minutes against Chesham before he popped. So we're going to have to take it a little bit careful with him. He's had a long time out. He was up at Aberdeen and he spent a long time out the side, and his body deconditioned really during that period of time. So he's the demand of a pre-season campaign, although we tried to take it lightly, we've just broken him down a little bit, and to be fair to him, he's putting in the hours and the miles, because we've got him going to a dance studio to do a lot of flexibility work, and so he's putting in the miles and doing that extra work. He's working very, very hard. We should have him out on the training ground sometime during the course of next week. So, but we're going to have to, say, take it very carefully. We're better off having him fit for 43 games than breaking him down by rushing him back too soon at this time again.
You've got to show discipline as well, haven't you? Because I mean, Dean Parrott is the classic example. He's recovering well from his injury and doing well, but you've still got to be disciplined yourself in how you actually wean him back into playing.
Well, patient probably more than disciplined. I think that you know the scripts, you know what the surgeons have said, you know what your timetables are. You can push at those timetables a little bit, but you've got to be intelligent and you've got to be patient and you've got to do the right thing by your players as well, because you've got responsibility to get results in the short term for your football club. You've also got responsibility to look after the careers of your lads. I'm sure the lads are chomping at the bit to get back, all of them. They love the game, which is why they play it. So nobody wants to pull a shirt on more than they do. But we've all got to show that patience and that intelligence just to make sure that we do it the right way.
Hartlepool's going to be a difficult one, isn't it? We're not going to know too much about them. He's got a lot of youngsters in there, and sounds like he's probably got some more signings to make, hopefully, before the weekend.
Yeah, you never know. Early on in the season, no team knows how good it is or how bad it is. So everybody's got a little bit of confidence because they don't know any better at that stage. So all the early games are tough ones. I've won a championship as a manager with 5 straight wins and no goals conceded to start the season. Won a championship with 1 win, 3 draws and a defeat to start the season. So what's that, 15 points on the one hand and 5 points on the other, or is it 6 points? But whether it be 6 points or 15 points, the important thing early on, don't get too carried away with the first game. So often you're looking forward to this game for so long, it almost feels like a cup final. I don't believe in treating it like that. We've got 5 league games and a league cup game during the course of August. I want us just to keep getting better through that period of time. We've been playing well enough during pre-season, putting some good performances, and generally speaking got some decent results. We've got to keep building on that. We've got to keep focused on improving all aspects of our game, back four, midfield four, all the defensive habits, set pieces, attacking, defending, attacking play, pattern of play, goal scoring, goal creation. We've got to keep working all the aspects of our game, keep improving all the aspects of our game. And I'm sure if we do, we've got more than enough within our squad to be a successful League 2 team. I really do believe that. I think I've managed us out of this league once previously, and we had a terrific bunch of lads here who more than deserve their promotion. I think we've got another very different but similarly terrific bunch of lads here again now. Proof of the pudding is going to be in the eating, no matter what I say. In the end, the results speak for themselves, but I'll be very surprised if this group of lads don't produce some really strong results, because there's loads of talent there, loads of talents, tons of appetite, a lot of ambition. I think the fans are going to see a team that cares again, and a team that's going to give them a lot of interest in football quality to watch.
And of course the Cup as well, Watford's local derby, his first competitive game against Watford.
Yeah.
There's a good deal of excitement around about that one game as well.
Yeah, it'll be a tough encounter. They've got some top quality players, just like Reading had, and you know, we know what a tough game that was. It was, you know, nip and tuck, end to end, and either side could have won it really, but they certainly got us under the cosh towards the end. And that's what that type of quality can do. They've got great ball retention, great ability to work the football. And, you know, our progress and our successes in recent years has been about beating sides like that. We had to go to the Medeski. We had to turn Reading over to win a place in the fourth round of the Cup. We had to turn Newcastle United over at our place to get to the fourth round of the FA Cup. You've got to beat some very, very good teams if you're going to create success. That's a given. So, you know, we know that it's not going to be easy. We know we're going to have to be right at the top of our game to win our way through. But we're going to have to do the same away at Southend. We're going to have to do the same at AFC Wimbledon. We're going to have to do the same when we travel down to Plymouth and when we play Wickham. You know, all those games are going to need winning. And it's about treating them one at a time, believing in ourselves, underestimating nobody, but in the end, giving ourselves enough respect and having enough confidence in ourselves that whoever comes and plays Stevenage knows they've been in the game.
Okay, Graham, well, thanks for taking time out to talk into us. You got any scoops for us just before we go?
What's a scoop?
Anything that nobody else knows about that we can announce on a loop?
I don't know. What do you want to know? You need to ask me a question. What do you want to know?
Any other players anywhere near signing or anything like that?
Oh, we could well be close to making an addition. Yeah, we could well be close to that. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if something doesn't happen later on this afternoon. But yeah, that's a given. That's an ongoing situation, trying to make sure that we become that little bit stronger.
Sure.
But no, I don't think there's anything really that is too secret here. We're working really hard. The players look really fit, really strong. I really like where they're at. The mentality is incredible. The noise, the vibe, really positive. The team is there for everybody to see. The discipline of the lads has been phenomenal. They're working away, and every detail of what they're doing is in place. Everything I would want from them is there. There's tons of quality. Work with them on the training ground every day. There's some brilliant things happen every day. You stand back and gasp sometimes at some of the quality of the football out there. But importantly, it's not just football quality and us ignoring the basics. You know, we put our foot in, we win our tackles, we win our headers. They cover ground each other. They show organisation and they're defending, and they can play as well on top of that. So they're just a great bunch to work with. I will be very, very surprised if they don't do very well this season. I think that there's lots to be excited about, and it's my job to keep a lid on expectations. It might take time for them to get going, but it might not. You know, as I say, I made 8 changes to my Farnborough side the year we won the league, and we started with 5 straight wins and no goals conceded. So you can make changes and it just clicks. It wouldn't surprise me if they do that, but if they don't, then I'd be patient with that, because I believe in them. They're definitely a good bunch of people and they definitely come through. So whether we're 18th in January and we have to come with a late run, whether we get off to a stormer, only time will tell. But they're definitely good people. Good people always come through.
Lovely. Well, hopefully we'll catch up in a couple of months and everything's going well for us.
Yeah, well, one thing's for sure, that we won't stop working every day to get better. And if you keep your resilience about yourselves, and there's enough goodness in there, you'll always produce. That's for sure. So you know, yeah, I hope that things are great in a couple of months' time. But I believe in these lads. And if somebody said to me, you know, are you going into the season with confidence? I'd have to say yes, because I like where they're at, I like what I'm watching, I like how they're working every day, and you get on a Saturday what you produce every day, and on an everyday basis they're producing the goods. So I've got no doubt that they're going to deliver a lot of victories this season.
So there we have it, manager Graham Wesley and his thoughts. What did you make of that?
Two things I wanted to pick up on from that.
I know one of them.
Three things, in fact. I'll go with three things. One of them was a quote from R. Graham. For the first time ever, It's my job to keep a lid on expectations. Well, Graham. In the past. No, nice that he said that instead of saying that we're going to
do
all sorts of things that we're not going to do.
Yeah.
Or possibly won't do.
And so that's why you want to, you know, I trusted him implicitly last season and ultimately we went down. And, yeah. He's kind of taken a little bit of responsibility for that more recently than he did at the end of last season, hasn't he? Whereas it was, you know,
well, he had a short holiday, didn't he?
He did.
But it wasn't as short as mine.
He wheeled those players out in front of the fans for two nights. One for meet the manager. He wheeled them out at the end of the season. He wheeled them out and stood in front of them.
Half the squad he did actually wheel out,
and he blamed a lot of them in front of their adoring public, which, you know, I like.
Yeah,
I'm all for that.
Yeah,
some people didn't like that public humiliation, but I think it's okay.
There weren't much more public humiliation they had to go through, were there? They played football, or attempted to play football for the previous however many weeks. That was humiliating enough for him.
Yeah, some of them in particular. But he's made no secret of the fact that he's quite pleased to be shot of some of them, has he?
Mm. Yeah, nice. Nice that most of that squad's gone.
And it's interesting the sort of squad that he has put together, I think, you know, with the mix of some experience
there. There's more experience.
Hunger.
There's a bit more experience than you'd expect.
But you've still got, you know, a few coming up from non-league. I was thinking about it the other day. It's, if you're rebuilding a side, it is a completely different sort of side you build for League Two than it is for League One, isn't it?
Definitely.
I mean, League Two, is it that much of a jump from Conference?
No, I don't think so. And particularly if you've got momentum, I think Luton are going to do well. And they're going to come in and they're going to carry on winning football matches because that's what they're used to. You've got some dross in there that have come out of the Conference that's going to struggle. You've got some established league sides that, you know, financially are going to struggle, like your Exeters and your Wickhams and, you know, teams like that. Plymouth, I think they're going to struggle as well. And you've got Luton, and I don't think Cambridge are going to hit the ground running quite so much because
Richard Money's whinging on the already.
Well, I don't see him staying in post.
We've been written off, and we're better than everybody. Gazes off his head.
But I think Northampton are going to, you know, they've signed players for a big season, and Luton are going to be there. I've just seen a tweet from Jeff actually because he's predicted us to finish second. Jeff at Three Counties and
Luton,
and Luton finished third.
Oh really?
And so I asked the question about who he, because it's quite open, I think, and he's predicted Carlisle to finish top.
Carlisle,
but I don't know. They
wouldn't say that based on last season.
I've seen a couple of people tipping Bury.
Yeah, no, they've signed some big players, but they're all ancient. You know, they're all 35, 36. Not much legs in them, I don't think, for a campaign on the top. You've got your Ryan Lowe's and what have you signed for them. Yeah, you'll probably get them 10, 12 goals, but.
What about your Tranmere's? Can they sort of recover and turn around?
No, I don't think so. When your big club goes down, they've got that philosophy, haven't they? That, oh, well, it's okay, it's only for a season. Tranmere are in a lot more trouble than I think meets the public eye, to be honest with you.
Same with Shrewsbury as well, because they're... They've got all sorts of problems off the pitch, haven't they?
What I've learned over the years is don't predict stuff. So I don't know what I'm talking about, really.
No. Well, you just don't know, do you?
Luton will do well.
Yeah.
They'll be there or thereabouts.
But he seems quite happy with everything, doesn't he? All right, there's a few players not been able to train, like Ron, like Zola, like Beardo, and they'll probably be as frustrated as him, but nothing you can do about it, is there? You've just got to be patient, and he's quite right to say, well, I'd rather wait 2 weeks for Zola than play him immediately and lose him for six or eight. So, sensible.
And we're going to have a very small squad. Maybe more concentrated squad, if you like, with what we've got, which in a way is a little bit of a worry. And I guess it's going to show, it could show its head early doors as well, couldn't it? Because Walton's already suspended for the first couple of games.
Yeah, but we knew that. And he's quite right, you only need 14, don't you? You can only use 14. You've always got Dino, though, haven't you, to come off the bench.
Yeah, although I saw him in action the other night.
We need to talk about top golf, really.
Foot golf,
don't we?
Yeah.
because it
lovely evening that
it was.
It was such a nice evening.
Yeah, but it's been marred by Graham's lies, really, hasn't it?
Tell us what is foot golf first of all.
the title of it is exactly what it is: golf with your foot and a football and a bigger hole.
Right,
not big enough for some, obviously, by the sounds of it.
You know, there were two things about the conversation about foot golf in that piece with Graham. Firstly, I didn't send that question in. He lied. Oh, a question from Mark. How was foot golf? Right. I'm more gracious than that. Far more gracious than that. Seriously.
Oh.
So he's trying to
question my integrity.
Yeah.
I've been questioning it for years.
And second, I mean, Graham's version of events isn't strictly wholly
what
true.
What did he say? There was all sorts going on out there.
There was all sorts going on.
mainly orchestrated by the man himself.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of the stuff that came out there's elements of untruth to it, but you know it's fine.
I'm
big enough to take it on the chin, and you know that's fine.
Your team of all stars minus Dino Thompson actually managed to win.
I have never seen.
We did win.
You did, yeah. And I was keeping track of the scores and letting Graham know because he was in one of the groups behind, and he'd finished his round, and Jason was coming up the last, and Graham was going, the authorities tell me that the score is this. Who's the authorities? Me. I'm telling you. I'm not the authorities, am I? But Graham had held his putt, and one of Mark's team members, Ian, had a monster of a putt to putt on two consecutive holes, and Ian Levy pulled them both out of the bag from, I don't know, I wouldn't even like to say 30 foot. And he is, you know, Mitchell Jones was missing them from 5 or 6 foot. Dino Manrea.
Mitchell Jones, I've never seen Mitchell Jones angry.
Dino, he was shaking branches on trees to get his ball out. It was hilarious. And Dino was like at a 6 foot putt, and he was kicking it 30 yards past the hole at one point, Dino. It was just brilliant fun. And we must do it again.
It was a good evening. It was supposed to be the original intention was it would be a bigger event than that.
Well, you're dipping your toe in the water. There'll be another one.
It couldn't happen. I'd like to think that at some point in the future, that something I can have a little bit longer to organise it, and we can try and get a lot of Stevenage fans involved and do it properly. Mm. Them lot will be far better. We finished our round. We went into the clubhouse. Graham graciously got the drinks in, and Jace, Mitch, Dino, and a couple of other of Graham's team went out for another round to go and get their practice in.
Dino wouldn't sit still. He was spitting feathers
at the end of the front nine. Me and my partner Jack had beaten Dino and Mitch by two holes, and at the end the back nine we were just switch partners, and we were the first round, and we got to it, and Dino went, come on, let's just go round again, don't wait, we won't switch partners, we'll stay here, I want to carry on playing you two, because he obviously wanted to get one over on me. But yeah.
But you played Besant in the second one, and
you got hammered, didn't you? Yeah, me and Jack got spanked on the back nine. I like Dave Besant.
No, yeah, he's all right, isn't he?
He's a nice guy, and he was interested in Stevenage and learning about the olden days and that.
Mm.
Real nice fella.
Plenty of bants as well with Dino across the fairways, wasn't
there? Yeah, a lot of gobbing off between the pair of them. It was good, and hopefully we can arrange something a bit bigger and get a lot more people involved next time around.
But that's good though, isn't it, that you know, there's, and the new fitness coach as well,
Dan
fits, seems to fit in well, and
nice fella.
Yeah, they all, you know, there is a genuine
vibe.
And we've heard it as well, haven't we?
It was good.
Well, I got that actually.
The Bradbury is a good place to be.
Yeah, when I went and saw Graham, you could
once they finished washing their kit and cooking their meals,
you could hear the players in the background, and there was certainly a lot of banter going on. And the interesting situation with the kit man and the kitchen, the chef, who's not very well at the moment. When I was there, Mitch was making the cup of tea, which I'd requested before we went. And,
Graham had it ready,
but Mitch had to finish it off.
Mm. He had to take
and
the
he just
out,
finished
he?
Cooking poached eggs for all the players.
Really? They love a poached egg, don't they, professional footballers?
Yeah. No, it was good to see. Let's hope that we'll still be saying the same sort of thing.
Let's hope none of them drop a jar of salad cream on their foot or anything like that.
Okay.
Do your impression.
You're a disgrace. You really are a disgrace.
Oh, look, that was forced upon me.
Oh, and you're not big enough to stand up to Graham Wesley and say, no, Graham, that's really immature, and I'm a professional broadcaster.
I've got to work with a man during the course
of the season. He's going to do his own interviews.
Well, we'll hear one of his interviews in towards the end of the podcast, I'm sure. But
I thought it was a good impression.
Did you?
Yeah. Not.
Could have gone to town on it, but
you could have done it. If
I've got to respect Dino as well.
If you'd have banged 10% on the Campness, we'd have been there. We'd have been there.
Got to respect Dino.
Anyway, can we talk about car parking? Because I've never seen Stevenage fans so incensed about a subject.
Good.
My sister texted me. She went, "You and Hollis." She went, "When was the last time either of you parked in that car park?" I said, "I don't think I've parked in there since 1996.
Never. Never.
Do you know what? Nor have I.
I didn't know what on earth was going on. I'd finished work on a Friday afternoon, got home, and I was down the allotment, and phone goes, and I thought, the phone number was remarkably similar to my work switchboard phone number, so I thought, oh, maybe someone's ringing me from work. So, oh, this is so and so from the Comet, right? Yeah, I wonder if you had any comment on the on the parking charges at Fairlands. I went, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what's going on.
Give me 5 minutes now, and I'll give you an opinion.
And she said, oh, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. And I went, well, it sounds ludicrous. And she went, ludicrous? Did you say ludicrous? And I went, leave it with me. Let me go away and have a little look what's going on. Like, yeah, went home, got back to the land of Wi-Fi, and that was that. And then later on, I got the phone call again, and I went, yeah, go on then, you can have ludicrous. You can have, so get your thesaurus out, and you can have anything that sounds like ludicrous or means ludicrous.
It's just pathetic, though, isn't it? That I loved, and I used your comment on Three Counties Radio the other morning when I had to do my bit. You know, you do the newspapers and the telly, and me and him do the radio. And what was it? Monumental backpedaling or something you said, and I used that in my interview with Ian Lee on Tuesday morning, wasn't it?
What's strange, wasn't it? To announce it on a Friday and then
they've paid a bloke to go and dig the hole and put a sign in the hole. They paid him to do that. They've made the sign, and now they're going, sorry, Barry. I think they're absolutely crapping themselves.
It's going to happen.
At Barry and
it's going
to
happen
at the moment.
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, it's rich for me to say this because I don't park there, but the people that are stating that we are the only football club in the world with a massive free car park like that are right.
Yeah.
If the council turned around and went, it's a couple of quid to park,
yep,
and there's a steward on the gate and you sling him a couple of quid, we realise that the car park's a dump and that there aren't any parking spaces marked out and that it's all a bit bobbly and
it'll take you an hour to get out.
Sling him a couple of quid, we've got a couple of stewards there and that'll do. To turn around and say, oh, well, a year ago we mentioned that we might do something and now we've teamed up with Euro Car Park, it's going to cost you 5.5 knicker and you've got to do it over your phone, which will be on some premium rate phone number.
I think the phone thing just takes the biscuit.
And you
£5.20 is...
What I said to him at the Comet is, where you got the 20p from?
Yeah, but it's because
you make it a fiver, didn't you? Or you make it 5.5 quid. I don't know.
Just do it. Whatever the charge is at the car park in Southgate, in the town or wherever, if it's for 3 hours parking, just charge them that, £2.50.
Is there anywhere in Stevenage that you have to pay £5.20 to park? I can't.
Well, only the train station, I would have thought.
It will get that way in the town centre, because the way the car parking charges work in the town centre is that with every time a shop that you might want to go in closes down, they up the car parking charge.
It makes sense.
That's what happens. The worse and worse.
Because you're obviously a regular visitor to the town centre, as we know.
Not as regular as... No, I'm not regular. It's just every time I go there,
you end up on Borough Chat ranting about it.
Something else has annoyed me about it.
Okay, so We're against £5.20, but I think we can accept that maybe this is going to happen.
Yeah, kind of.
But it's got to be reasonable.
I don't like it being targeted at football fans.
No, exactly.
And I'm just saying, the people that are there for Borough have to pay that extra money.
And in fairness, it's not just football fans either, is it? Because it's people that will visit the park on a match day.
Yeah, they weren't clear about it.
Does that mean that somebody turning up at 12 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon would have to pay £5.20?
I want to go and walk my dog through the Bluebells at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning, but it's a match day.
Or if there's a fairground, if there's a fair or a circus there.
That was brilliant. Someone put out that might have been Andy Coates. So I hope that when the circus comes to town, they're going to charge... they're going to charge the circus £5.20 for every bay they take up over the course of whatever.
Well, any car that's in there will presumably have to pay £5.20 on a
Saturday. I think
that
circus and fair obviously make it worth the council's worthwhile doing it, because that would have stopped years ago if the council didn't make anything out.
I don't know. But they've bottled it, haven't they? I was expecting them. I thought it was a, let's tell them it's £5.50 so that then we can go, oh, well, all right. If you have got a problem with it, we'll make it £2.
I think they've covered themselves.
Okay, well, watch this space on that one, because I think that's going to rumble on during the course of the
I think she's
season,
made herself look
probably
bloody ridiculous. So
I think we've all said that, haven't we? She's particularly
first one up there having a cuddle with everyone and parading around with a trophy, isn't she?
Oh dear. Right, okay.
Yeah, because that's Steve's friend. Anyway.
No, not at all. Right. Predictions. Let's have a quick season prediction, and then we'll talk about the next couple of games. So,
what do you want, a position or just a generic?
Where are we going to finish this season? Where are we going to finish? I want a position.
I said 6th to 10th last season, and A, got told off for it, and B, was monumentally wrong, so I really don't know.
Well, depends, doesn't it, on the gelling. If they can start off well and keep it up all season, there's no reason for me why we can't be pushing playoffs with that squad.
It's that word again, gelling, isn't it?
But if it takes
people didn't like that a few.
If it takes them 10 weeks to get themselves into a cohesive unit, then mid table. Either way, I'd expect us to be top half.
Come on, a position.
8th.
Dino.
12th. With no shout of a playoff.
I think we're going to be in and around the playoffs myself.
I think we'll have a sniff. I think it'll be a late push.
I'll go 7th.
Okay.
And that's our last day scrape in job, isn't it?
Well, I said in and around the playoffs, so that's my position.
Okay.
Saturday, Hartlepool. Don't know much about them, and
they've signed a couple of experienced players.
We'll beat them.
Parnaby's one, and I was looking today because
by all accounts they've lost their midfield.
We're due an opening day victory 2-0.
I know, that's why I'm thinking 1-0. We don't do so well first day, do we?
It just worries me we haven't got Simon Morton.
You'd want
him against former club, wouldn't you?
You've got Whelpdale and you've got
2-0.
Lee that could go in there. I think Whelpdale might play at fullback. I don't know what to. We said that we were going to start with that team that started last week, but I didn't much care for that.
The team in the second half was...
Yeah, but then Walton was involved in that, wasn't he? So that's not going to be right. Yeah. But anyway.
Come on.
Bond and Lee in the middle. That'll do the trick, probably. Whelpdale at fullback. Wales and Birra, or Whalley and Birra, I don't know.
A score prediction or
was it one a prediction?
1-0.
I'm going to go with you, Mark. I think we are going to win this one. 2-0's a reasonable scoreline as well, I think.
Thanks.
Yeah. 2-1 it is. Tuesday, Watford. Who knows? What sort of side Watford will put out?
Walton completes his band, and he said, that's good, we'd have him back for the second league game. We can go out for that. We've made our money in that. Watford have sold out, another 300 tickets. Made a few quid, haven't we?
I'll tell you what, the prediction's got to be after 90 minutes, isn't it?
Sure.
No, I think we'll lose 2-0.
In 90 minutes.
Yeah, 2-0.
Oh, Graham's going to hate you.
I'll go draw. 1-0.
Not here to be liked.
No, 0-0.
I'm going with Mark.
0-0 after 90 minutes.
This is my new season prediction. I'm going to go out and try and upset as many people as I possibly can this season.
Okay. Just quickly, we've heard that Graham's taken over the interviewing. Here's a taste of Graham's interviewing when he collared
Ronnie Henry at the training ground the other day.
I'm interviewing him for the podcast.
Is it a serious one, is it, or is it just fucking joking?
Well, they think they're like, you know, Have I Got News For You? Yeah. Have you seen Have I Got News For You on the TV?
Yeah.
They try and do that, like they try and do funny, maybe. Don't they? Have you ever listened to it?
Not really, but
they're good. They're nice. Like, Mark Hollis, Dino, they bring in like a special guest each week.
Yeah.
So like he's coming to see me, and I'm thinking, well, you are like the ideal special guest for like a quick interview.
Yeah.
So what do you want to talk about?
You've got to talk to me about it.
No, but I'm asking you what you want to talk about.
I don't mind. Whatever you want.
About your injury. How's your injury?
Talk about that if you want. Yeah.
Go on then. How is it?
Is it on? Is it?
It's on now. Yeah. How is your injury?
It's coming on well. It's 3 weeks today.
Yeah.
Starting to see light at the end of the tunnel at the minute. To be honest with you, I went out today, ran on it, done a bit of ball work. Still isn't there, but I reckon in a week or so, maybe 2 weeks, I'll be back training.
Okay, training. You're not allowed to like just sit there and grimace. You've got to like tell a joke and things. Tell us a joke. What's your favourite joke?
I can't do this. Is
you
it
can
like...
do this.
No, I can't do this. It's the worst thing ever. I should be good at that.
Where are you going?
I'm not telling a joke.
Well, that was Graham Wesley interviewing Ronnie Henry. What do you make of that, Dean?
Doesn't have much on the whole, doesn't he?
On the whole, I think he should stick to football management.
You wanted him to do some interviewing. Well, there you
either
go.
Either that or Borough Bear.
just about wraps it up. I think you've got something you want to bring
up.
Yeah,
we should probably have a moment to mention the sad passing of Mick Baldwin last weekend. Borough fan, East Terrace legend. I think even if you didn't know Mick
you knew
by
him.
Face, you knew Mick by voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just a moment to so real tragic
good
news.
Bloke. Real good bloke.
Absolutely. Good bloke. Thoughts go out to all family and friends.
One of the funniest blokes I've ever known on News Terrace. Plenty of good memories.
Okay, and on that note, we'll be back next week. Well, no, we probably won't be back next week.
Dean's
a couple of games.
On holiday,
well, you two carry on without me. You could get another guest to come in for the week.
No.
Can't think of anyone.
who'd want to join us?
Well,
where are you going on holiday anyway?
I'm just going to Wales for a few days.
Right. Do they do guava lucasade in Wales?
They do probably do guava.
Do you want to explain your guava lucasade?
No.
Dean was late and phoned us on his way here.
Brazilian guava
to ask
lucasade.
Us to go and get him a guava lucasade. Because he was parched.
Well, I'll tell you what you could do. Instead of taking the mickey at me, you could go around to my house next week and do the podcast from there. And You can walk.
From what I've heard, people's problem is getting your house when you've got the keys.
Yeah, it's true. But yeah, water plants running around there.
We'll be back soon. This podcast was brought to you in association with www.boroughguide.co.uk. If you'd like to contact the podcast team or contribute to a future edition, please email us at aloadofoldtoffee@gmail.com, and that's with no spaces. You can also join us on Facebook by searching for A Load of Old Toffee, or you can follow us on Twitter at Old Toffee, again, no spaces.
A Load of Old Toffee. Load of Old Toffee.